just as the dispensation of grace in which we live is referred to in the Holy Scriptures, there are many biblical prophecies relating to that which is to come. On today's broadcast titled, The True Prophet, Three Questions Answered, recorded August 21st, year 2022, on Apostolic Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Bishop Omega presents a sermon providing insight into many questions, including some relative to the end time. The principal text begins in the book of Matthew, 24th chapter, 3rd verse.
We want to get to the message. Those of you that have been keeping up, I hope you're ready for a learning lesson today, as I always do in the Word. If you've come and you're not familiar with our particular format, it's not a lot. There's no screaming and shouting and jumping the pews in here. We like to teach Jesus Christ and the Word, and we get into it. And for those of you that I don't know personally, I like to think that we do connect because of the Word. And for those of you that have been keeping up, we started off some time ago with Jesus' cleansing of the temple the first time, and then we went on to the second cleansing, which many people didn't know there were two cleansings. And then when he left the temple the last time, he said, I leave you to your house desolate. Remember before he was referring to it as his house, my Father's house. Now he's saying your house is left to you desolate, right? To the national Jewish people. And he said that because the glory of the Lord of God was leaving in the person of Jesus Christ, never to enter the temple again. And upon leaving it, especially for you note takers, upon leaving it, you know, Jesus made a prediction that the place would be destroyed, right? Remember, he said not one stone would be left on top of another. As his disciples came out, when he says, your house is left to you desolate, they were showing him the buildings, remember? The scripture says, as they were leaving, the other disciples, the Peters and the others around him were saying, but look, Lord, all these great buildings. And remember the intricacies that we went into about how the building was built? Some stones were 40 by 12 by 12, large stones hewn so perfectly they were stuck together without the need for mortar. That's how beautifully the house was put together, overlaid with gold in certain places where it shone on the eastern side as the sun came up. It would shine so all around Jerusalem could see the temple shining, reflecting, if you will, metaphorically, the glory of God. Just catching you up for those of you that may not have been with us in the past studies. So this is where we're going to pick up today. Third verse, Matthew, the 24th chapter. That's going to be where we start, right? And I'll just read this. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? When will what things be? Well, what he just said, that this place will be destroyed. Now, Luke gives us more details about other than just the army surrounding. We'll get to that at another time. But Jesus answers this. Tell us, they said, when will these things be? They want to know. Listen, they asked three questions. That's what we're going to be dealing with today. Three questions. They said, tell us, when will these things be? They want to when. Then there's a second question. What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? They want three things. They want to know when all of this is going to happen and what will indicate that we're at the end of the age and what will indicate your coming. Now, you'll notice when Jesus answers them, he takes them in reverse order and answers them. But before we get to that, we're going to go back to the Old Testament and see why they ask for a sign. Back in the old economy, the old Jewish economy, when a prophet spoke, when anyone spoke in the name of the Lord, they were told in Moses, if you go with me back to Deuteronomy, Moses told them that when someone speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing comes true, accurately, is God is in it. If not, if everything is not just so, accurate to the point, then God's not in that. The person's lying. And in Deuteronomy 13, it said, kill them. Of course, we're not endorsing anyone to harm anyone. I'm telling you what the old economy was in Moses' day. But let's begin here at 18, the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll see why the disciples asked Jesus for when it was going to happen, but they wanted a sign associated with what he was saying. Here's why, and then we'll read. When someone said something, it became a tradition for the prophet who said it to give a sign, a miracle, prediction of a miracle, to show that what he's preaching is true. Understand, this is what led to the disciples asking for a sign. And you'll see here in Moses, it was allowed that you could wonder in your heart, I wonder if this man's telling me the truth. How do I know he's true? Well, it became a tradition to ask for a miracle, a sign, to show me that what you're preaching is the truth. If you say that I'm speaking, God told me this, on the 13th of September, this will happen. They would say, well, can you give me a sign to show that you're telling the truth? They'll say, all right, at 3 o'clock p.m. today, that window's gonna fall out. If the window falls out at 3 p.m., then you know what he says coming in September is gonna happen. So that became a tradition. It wasn't a mandate, it became a tradition. And here's where that tradition comes from. Deuteronomy 18:18.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren.
This is Moses telling what God said. I will raise up a prophet. And Moses wrote it down. This is God talking. I will raise up a prophet like you, Moses. That's God speaking, right?
Mm-hmm. From among their brethren.
Like right from among your brethren.
Mm-hmm. Like unto thee.
He's going to be like you in many ways.
And will put my words in his mouth.
What he says, I shall have put it in his mouth to say.
And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
He's talking about Jesus now, right? So everything we can take from this and glean from this, everything Jesus said, God commanded him to say. Moses said that would happen. Read on, please.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
It shall be that whoever, I'm going to just amplify and clarify what he's saying for today. Whoever doesn't listen to Jesus, I'm going to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. All right? Because it's clearly referring to Jesus. So he's saying that whoever does not listen to this one that I'm going to raise up like you, Moses, how like you? He's going to be a deliverer. He's going to speak my word. He's going to free his people. He's going to be the leader of the people. He's going to set down the law. That is what you should do. Like you, Moses. And it shall be, whoever doesn't listen to this one, that I'm going to raise up right from among their brethren. Jesus was a Jew by the blood, by ethnically. He says, I'm going to raise up one just like you from among your brethren. And whoever doesn't listen to him, I will require it of him. In other words, you'll be wrong if you don't listen to him. Carry on.
Verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name.
False prophets. But a prophet who claims to be from me.
Which I have not commanded him to speak.
Which I did not send or give him a word to say.
Or that shall speak in the name of other gods.
Or even if he speaks in the name of other gods, small g.
Even that prophet shall die.
He's saying that that prophet is worthy of death. Someone who presumes to speak on God's behalf and does not, right? Or in the name of other gods, which is also terribly wrong. Yes? And now here's where I said, he has allowed us, he's allowed human beings to wonder, well, I don't know, is that man speaking on behalf of God? Here's the verse, the 21.
And if thou say in thine heart.
And if you say in your heart.
How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?
Mm-hmm. Do you see that right there, saints? Do you understand what if you say in your heart means? If you just think within yourself. You don't speak with that mechanical thing beating inside you. So he's not talking about that heart. It's a euphemism for saying, if you think to yourself, how do I know he's a real prophet of God? This man predicted that this building is going to fall down, and which it did 40 years later in 70 AD, that temple and the buildings around. He says, how do I know? So Jesus allowed them to question him. We'll get to that. But here is where that provision was allowed. Because God is saying to Moses, and if someone says in their heart, how do we know? This man is a prophet. This is the verse that allows human beings to question. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How do we know that God didn't say that? Listen, here it is.
When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord.
When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord.
If the thing follow not.
If the thing does not happen.
Nor come to pass.
If it doesn't come to pass just like he said it was.
That is a thing which the Lord hath not
God spoken. Had nothing to do with that man.
But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously.
He spoke it presumptuously on his own.
Thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Don't be afraid of him. Don't listen to him at all. And if you read Deuteronomy 13, do not take this literally for today. In Deuteronomy 13, it says, kill him. Some of them don't believe me. Let's read it. Some of you don't. Well, that's too graphic. God would never say that. You can't do that today. This is Moses' economy. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer, this is Deuteronomy 13:1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods to deceive you, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet, of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. He has spoken in order to turn you from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way of which the Lord your God has commanded you to walk. And what he's saying is, if you listen to a false prophet and they prophesy something, let's say it comes to pass, because don't forget, Satan has great powers too. And sometimes things do come true that a false prophet speaks. But when they entice you in any way against God, or invoke any edict or tradition that is not like God, he's saying God's testing you. But you see here in Deuteronomy 18, you do have the right to question in your heart, this is not from God, is it? Now, based on that, in the practical carrying out of Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22, it became customary. Prophets didn't have to do that, but it became customary for prophets to give the people a prediction. After they spoke something, it became customary to give a prediction of something that would happen in the future to show you that what I'm saying is true. It was not ordered. It was not a mandate from God, but it became customary. Therefore, the disciples asked, it's based on that thinking that the disciples asked Jesus, well, if these buildings are all going to come down, well, when is this going to happen? And what shall be the sign of your parousia? We've been over that before in Greek. Not just your showing up, but your showing up and staying, your coming. Think about it. They're asking when it's going to be the sign of your coming. He's already here. And Luke tells us that they thought he was about to take the throne. So they thought it's going to happen any moment now. Are you following me? See, with a 2,000-year interim, we tend to think that they were thinking he's going to go away and come back. No, they're thinking he's here now. He's going to overthrow Rome and kick out all these phonies, and he's going to sit on the throne of David. Now, look at Luke, just quickly, Luke 19:11. Just quickly. Just go to Luke 19:11. We're going to get to this another time if you keep up with our studies here.
Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Saints, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because he's talking all of this kingdom coming, they say, oh, he's about to do it soon. So in their mind, they don't have what we do, the advantage of 2,000-year interim, where we see he's going to take a long time coming back. They're thinking, if you look up the Greek word, I went through this before, parousia. When is your coming? Not just showing up, but showing up to stay. They're saying, when are you going to take the throne, Jesus? Luke just told us there that they thought it was going to be immediately.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we're looking back now and thinking, well, they knew he had to go and come back. No, they're not hearing him. I have to go in Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me, and in 3 days I'll rise. They were like, yeah, whatever. So when are you taking the throne? They weren't listening to him listening. They were hearing him, but they want to see him take the throne. So they're thinking, it's happening any day now. And they said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, can I sit on your right and your left? They think it's going to be now, in their lifetime. They're not thinking like we are now, knowing it's going to be a 2,000-year interim. We have the advantage of looking back and knowing. They don't know that at the time. You with me?
Yes, sir.
So when they ask for, in verse 3, back to Matthew 24, when they say, tell us, when will these things be? You just said these great buildings are coming down, won't be one stone left on top of another. When will these things be? And give us a sign. What will be the sign? Do you see that? The miracle. What will be the great supernatural thing? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What will be the sign of the end of the age? They ask for two signs, and they want to know when. And if you pay strict attention to where we're about to go, you're going to see that Jesus answers their questions, all three, but in reverse order. Now, please pay attention. We've been over this many times, but this was eye-opening to me. When you really get into this and study this, and you see how Jesus takes the reverse order, notice the second question is always still the second one, because if you take the reverse orders, number two is still number two. But he answers number three first, and he answers number one last. That's where we're going to pick up today. But I wanted you to get the Old Testament into you so you can see why the disciples asked the question asked for a sign. Because Moses, through God, allowed that you can wonder in your heart. Not saying that they doubted Jesus' prediction, they just couldn't see how, Jesus, why would all these beautiful buildings come down? Give us a sign. What's the sign of your coming back? And what's the sign of the end of the age? Because Jesus says, at the end of the age, this and this is going to happen. So Jesus begins here. Let's review one more time. Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? Now, verse 4, Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said to them,
take heed that no man deceive you.
First of all, make sure nobody fools you. Now, for him to say that, he means I'm about to tell you how not to be fooled. Did you get that?
Yes,
I like the way he starts off with the warning. Hey, now listen, I know you all want to know when this is going to happen. What's going to be the sign of my coming? What's going to be the sign of the end of the world? Now, you might have in the classical King James, end of the world, it means end of the age. Because we clearly know events that happen after the tribulation. So when he says end of the age, by the way, it's also called the times of the Gentiles. Why? Because when the times of the Gentiles is over, who does his focus go back to? And Jesus answered and said to them, make sure nobody fools you. That's why you got to stay in the Word. If you stay in the Word and properly understand it, dissect it, take time and study it, juxtapose one scripture with the next, see what lines up with what. Don't just read something and now what I want to talk about, and the pastor talks about himself all day long. Get into the Word. And then do your proper research, as the Bible says, where you'll know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Doesn't it say study, show thyself approved? Yes. Modern translation, study so you'll know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Let us show that we know what we're talking about here. Look at what Jesus says. Make sure, he starts off, that no one fools you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, what Jesus is saying is, from that time right now when he's speaking, he's saying, after I'm gone, this is going to happen. Now, I want you to see here that if you follow along closely, he clearly shows us that there's going to be a long period of time, which we'll get into at another time, and then the tribulation comes. But listen to this.
Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars.
Stop. Everyone thinks that's only right at the tribulation. For the last 2,000 years, since he said there have been wars and rumors of wars. What Jesus is talking about right now is from the time when he left until this very moment.
Amen.
And we'll show you when he gets to the tribulation era. But right now, till the next few verses, he's going to be talking about the last 2,000 years. Now, here's the thing. The closer we get to the tribulation, wars and rumors of wars will increase. Now, just because you may not be aware of it and you only watch your local Channel 6, there's stuff going on around the world. There are wars and rumors of wars in parts of the world some of you never heard. There are earthquakes and diseases in places that you may not be aware of. When you see the word pestilence, diseases. I understand polio's making a comeback. Monkeypox. COVID, and other, and that's not all. But for the last 2,000 years there have been. And this is what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, first of all, make sure no one fools you. Now, let me say this. Jesus didn't say this number. Let me say this number. For the next 2,000 years, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, but it's going to get worse and worse as we close down the end of this age. But there have been wars and rumors of wars for the last 2,000 years.
We turn to Matthew 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
And that's another thing. Over the last 2,000 years, there have been many. Many that have come calling themselves the Messiah. Back to the scripture. Don't be deceived. Many, and listen, don't think someone's going to say, I am Christ. But when you presume to be Christ, when Jesus says, many shall say, I am the Christ. Some have actually said that. Jesus starts off by, first of all, see that none fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. Many people are going to pretend to be the Christ. I have the truth. I know that you're right. All right, buddy. This is what Jesus is saying. Do not be fooled. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. This is going to happen in the next 2,000 years. He could have been saying. But he just means until the time, you'll see when we get to it.
See that ye be not troubled.
Be not afraid. Yeah, and don't be troubled inside, worried. This is my husband. You both got beards. Come on, Bishop. And you bent up, oh my God, world's gone crazy. Man marrying men, women, be not troubled. The stuff's gonna happen.
Amen.
You're a Christian. Go back to the word. See that you are not troubled.
Amen.
For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
That's right.
For nation will rise against nation. Russia, Ukraine, in the Sudan, North and South Sudan, same country, breaking up, fighting over each other, India, Pakistan. Different, you can go around the world. Kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. There are famines all over the planet. Diseases, pestilence. And earthquakes in various places. We had an earthquake in Virginia a few years ago. You remember that? I was sitting in Jersey and the building shook. What are you getting upset for? If it's Jesus, you should say, come on, Lord.
Amen.
Think about it. He says, see that you're not troubled when all these things happen.
Amen.
In the last 2,000 years, I want you to think about this as a Christian. You should never be troubled when you see the events in the news.
Amen.
You should say, you know what you should say is, Jesus told the truth. And the reason I said about the sex thing, the sexual, Paul speaks of all that stuff. And who gave him what to say?
Jesus.
And what did Jesus just say there? When you see all these things happening, calm down.
Amen.
See that you're not troubled. Now, that doesn't mean you agree with it. It doesn't mean it's not upsetting. But he says, don't be troubled by it.
Amen.
He says, all these things must come. And don't forget, in other places, the scripture is more detailed into what he means. Here he just mentions a few things. But the point I'm trying to make here is, as Christians, you just calm down when you see these things happening. Don't get bent out of shape. Another thing, when you get, Lord Jesus, what is God? You think Jesus didn't know this? I never understood that about some of you all when you had back in the 40s and 50s, you can't watch TV or you're on your way to hell. And I say, where is that in the Bible? So Jesus didn't know that man would one day make TVs, but he neglected to put it in the Bible. Do you understand my point that I'm making here, being facetious? So why do you get upset when you see things that Jesus knew was coming? You got a diagnosis of cancer. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, why me? Jesus knew you were going to get it. Nobody wants it, but he knew you were going to get it, so he's not surprised. You are. But as a Christian, Lord, be with me through this cancer. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. If you take me, I'm coming to see you, believing.
Amen.
But see that you're not troubled. Many things are going to happen. Upsetting things are going to happen. Discordant things are going to happen. Things that we don't like. Things that look like the world's turned upside down. You know, don't you sometimes when you hear on a commercial and you hear a woman say, and my wife, so and so, and you go, now, know what I do? I say, well, you know, see that you're not troubled.
Amen.
These things are going to happen. And the been with my husband and all this kind of thing, and this is your daddy, and this is your daddy. And they're telling the kid, you can imagine the kid. Then he goes to school, and mommy and daddy, and then, yet I got daddy and dad. Yep, see that you're not troubled. Things are going to happen. The reason I'm throwing that stuff in, because Paul mentions those other things about the sexual going aside, whatever. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Let's read that again. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Amen.
Now, what is the end? Again, I just spoke of it, the end of this age. Because after the end of this age, our Lord comes to rule. Then a new age begins. But this age, we're still in that generation of the age in which he's speaking. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now, look at this. Now we transition into, now here's what's not stated between verses 8 and 9. Here is what's not stated here, but we find in other places. Hey, there's going to be a rapture. But that's not in this particular passage. It's in others. Because now at verse 9 begins the tribulation. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill. You may have affliction in the classical King James. The same translation is tribulation. This now begins the tribulation. But what happens before the tribulation, we know from other scriptures, is the taking away of the church. Now, how then is Jesus speaking to these around him saying, they shall deliver you up? None of them went through the are going to go through the tribulation. Peter, all of them. Now, some of them did see the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Some of your Peters, some of your Nathaniels, some of them that were around Jesus right then did see that, but they will not be here at the end of the age. They come back with Jesus, with us, the church. They certainly will not go through the tribulation. So why could Jesus say you? Because he is speaking to them, listen to this, saints, as representative men. They represent ethnically Jews, and they represent believing-wise the church, believers in Jesus. So when he says they will deliver you up, they will deliver up Jews who now turn to Jesus during the tribulation and Gentiles who turn to Jesus during the tribulation. The church, though, is gone. So when, and then stay with me on this one because it's coming up soon. When the church is gone, what dispensation is over? Grace. Now, keep that in mind for when we get to a scripture coming up in just a little bit. Now, they will deliver you up to tribulation. I want you to get this word in your mind, this term. He's speaking to them as representative men because they represent Israel and they represent believers in Jesus, period.
You are listening to a message titled, The True Prophet, Three Questions Answered, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
So, representative men he's speaking to, right? But for the last 2,000 years, it was a church era. So all this time during the earthquakes and pestilence, he's speaking to them. But now he says, they will deliver you up to tribulation. He's talking to, don't forget, the disciples came to him privately and said this. So he's talking only to those around him. How can he then speak to them if they're not going to be here then? Because they're representative. And as far as the flesh, they represent Israel. And as far as believing in Jesus, they represent the church and or people who believe in Jesus after the rapture. They will deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This time of the tribulation. Now listen, Carry on.
Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another.
Many are going to fall away. Carry on. They will betray one another.
And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise.
Many false prophets will rise up.
And shall deceive many.
And deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound.
The love of many shall wax cold.
The love of many will grow cold. But now listen to this.
Verse 13.
This line confuses a lot of people. But
he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Now, people think that means salvation saved. Even you'll see in biblical commentary, but if you closely examine it and do some in-depth study, go to Isaiah 24:6.
Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth.
Therefore the curse has devoured the earth.
And they that dwell therein are desolate.
And those who dwell in it are desolate.
Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned.
Uh-huh.
And few men left.
This is what that is talking about. It's talking about the same time that Jesus is talking about here. It's saying, if you manage to survive the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, it's only going to be a few human beings left. Now, this does not mean, as many people think, eternal salvation, because that would imply that your ability to endure the tribulation is going to save you. That has never been the case. Salvation is always by divine selection. God chooses who's going to be saved, and he gives you the faith to be saved. It's not that you can avoid the Antichrist for 3.5 years, or you can avoid destruction, and that's how you get saved. No, that sounds like that would be self-merit.
Yes, sir.
So if you look at that scripture, and please study it, but he who endures, the same shall be saved. Let me just give you a quick heads up. If you jump over quickly to 22, verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved.
Yes.
Same saved is used if you look it up. And it does not mean eternal salvation. It means saved bodily.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Look it up. I challenge you to look it up. Now, you will read in certain, because certain biblical commentators have this wrong in my view. If you look it up, you'll see certain commentators saying, well, salvation, you shall be saved. It's not talking about eternal salvation there in most cases. Let's allow for theological brainstorming here. And let's not put, he's on his way to hell, he got that wrong. Go back, look at Isaiah 24:6. It's talking about the same time period, and it's talking about being saved through those troubles. And if you make it through that, you'll be one of those few human beings left alive. Because it cannot be that you earned salvation by managing to survive during troubled times.
Amen.
That would give you merit.
Yes.
Then you could stand before God and boast, and God has made it that none can stand before him and boast.
Amen.
But salvation is a matter of his divine selection and him giving you grace.
Amen.
To believe.
Yes, sir.
So even the very fact that you have faith to believe, that's a grace given to you. How can surviving terrible times be he that endures to the end shall be saved? To the end of the period he's talking about.
Yes.
Listen to this. Now, I want you to pay strict attention to the very next two words. Verse 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Now, did you hear that? I can guarantee you that went over a lot of heads. I said, listen to the next two words. And this, he did not say the gospel of grace. What gospel was Jesus preaching when he was here walking? The gospel that the king is coming. The king is coming. Not the gospel of grace. Someone would say it's the same gospel. It is not. In Jesus' day, you had to accept that the king is here. That would save you. During grace, all you have to do is believe that work on the cross did it, and you're saved. It's not the same gospel. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The king is coming, and that's the gospel that the 144,000 are going to be preaching during the tribulation. But listen to this. The 144,000 will be preaching this gospel, Jesus says.
Yes.
He didn't say in the gospel of grace.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
That comes after Pentecost. This is not yet Pentecost. Stay with me. What gospel was Jesus preaching when he was here? The gospel that the king is here. Accept me, I'm your Messiah.
Amen.
Right? No, he said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world. At that troubled time when the 144,000 selected young Jewish men go out and preach and evangelize the world. And the world that is left then, the few that survive, will have a chance to hear these 144,000. But this gospel, he says, shall be preached. Not the gospel of grace. And an ill-informed preacher might tell you, it's all the same gospel. It is not. The gospel of grace came after Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Are we all aware of that? That's why Jesus says, and this gospel shall be preached. Which one? The one he was preaching for the last 3.5 years with the other disciples.
Amen.
They were going around telling them, there's your king. Repent. The king is here. The Messiah is here. That's the gospel that they shall be preaching, because the end of the age is, he says, then comes the end.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Why?
Revelation 19, Jesus is about to show up again. Now we're going to be with him this time.
Yes, sir.
The church.
Amen.
And all his angels, his holy host. Think about it, saints. Chronologically, if you look at this chronologically and study it, you will see that this is why he said, and this gospel.
Yes.
He didn't say a gospel. He didn't say the gospel of grace. Church age is over at this point.
Amen.
And he says, and this gospel. Why? Don't forget, Mr. 666, he allows the temple to be rebuilt. He allows temple service to happen again. So Jesus is saying, the king is coming back. Now I want you to see something here. Notice Jesus says, and then the end will come.
Yes, sir.
Now Jesus answers the third question in the very next verse 15. Now, he gave you some details of things that were going to happen up until the sign. They asked for a sign of the end, right? They asked for a sign of his coming, and they asked for when will it be? So three questions. He takes the last one first. And here is the first answer to the third question. But here's the first answer to those questions. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, that's the sign.
Hmm.
Why? Because Antichrist has allowed the temple to be rebuilt, but see, he doesn't declare himself to who he really is until now, midway the tribulation.
Yes, sir.
Up until now, they just think he's a great leader who has restored things, and he's allowed the Muslims to have their mosques. He's allowed the Jews to rebuild their temple. And all of you wannabe Christians, you can build your so-called churches, and you Buddhists, and you Hindus, and you whatever you want to believe. And midway says, now everybody stop and believe in me.
Amen.
And that he starts by setting up the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. He puts an image of himself in the temple and calls himself God. Then we know, now Jesus is saying, now, no, the end is here. You only got 3.5 more years for this age is over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus is saying. This is the sign. This is the first answer, which is to the third question. Do you all see that?
Yes, sir.
I want you to see, I mean, therefore, why does he say there? Read 15.
Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see.
All right, therefore. What is the therefore? All that stuff I've been telling you between verses 5 and 14, all that's going to happen. Now Jesus says, therefore, now here's the answer to your question about the sign.
Yes, sir.
After all those things have happened, and we now know it's been 2,000 years of these things happening, but they're getting more and more intense as we come now to this time. The tribulation period, saints, as you well know, is a 7-year period, right? But for the first 3.5, this guy seems to be a pretty nice guy. Because with all the church gone and the Holy Ghost, the restrainer, removed, all that which holds back evil, and then evil increases, but this guy seems to be keeping control. He's got your power back on, the oil's running again, food's in the market again. He seems to be running everything, and you can have your religion, you can do what you want, you can do what you want. All right, midway, notice it's, and he's so intense that God only allows him 3.5 years. Of the great tribulation. Now, once the rapture happens, the tribulation's on. But it's not as bad as it's gonna get until he sets up that abomination that causes desolation. Because that's when he says, all right, forget every other religion and worship. I will have none of it. I am God.
Amen.
You remember all the scripture says that he calls himself God, but he sets up an image of himself in the temple, right? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is when Jesus is saying, note that that's when the end starts.
Amen.
Because 3.5 years, and then you're gonna see me. Did you get that? But I want you to go back to 14, end of 14, says, then the end will come. And then when he says, the end will come, he starts off with, and therefore, when you see, what did we see? A sign. This is the sign. The abomination that causes desolation.
Amen.
Therefore, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. See that parenthetical statement there? When you read this, understand what you're reading. He said, let no one deceive you. So understand. Then let those who are in Judea. Where does it sound like his focus is? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Washington, D.C.? Geneva, Switzerland? His focus is Judea. Where is Judea? Jerusalem. He's coming back now to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. So his warning here is to those in Judea. And he's saying that it shall be such a time, because this man is having no other worship. And if this Antichrist even thinks you're worshiping something else, he's coming after you. So he says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Which mountains? The mountains of Edom and Moab, the same mountains in which David hid when he was hiding from Saul. It's a lot of caves in these mountains. His point is, if you're in Jerusalem, in Judea, anywhere in that region, take off. Don't go back home and get your shoes. If you're barefoot, just start running. Meaning the tribulation is going to get so intense from this fella, this Antichrist. When he sets up that abomination, because that's when he's saying, I'm God. And forget any other kind of worship. And he comes after to kill anyone that does not recognize that. But he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. See, there again, it's called the holy place. Why? They reconstituted the temple. Because Antichrist allows them to rebuild the temple. But midway, he says, all right, forget all that so-called God worship. I am God. Worship me. That's the abomination. And that image that he puts of himself in the temple is the abomination. That's just desecrating the temple, right? He says, when you see that, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Listen to this. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house.
Yes.
In other words, don't go get provisions. Let me get a thermos. I might need some water. And he says, just run.
Sir.
Let me get a coat. It might be cold. That run. What? Now, here's what he's emphasizing. He's saying that the intensity of Antichrist's furor against you believers will be so hot that you should just take off.
Amen.
To survive, for protection. Run to the caves. Run to the, but he says the mountains. He means the caves that are in those mountains in and around Judea, which are Moab and Edom. He says, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Didn't I tell you that? I need to get a coat. It might be cold at night. He said, you won't run. That's how intense the armies of Antichrist will be to kill anyone who does not pledge immediate and total allegiance to him. Right? Carry on.
Verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child.
Please don't be pregnant during this time. Why? It's going to be difficult.
Yes.
And pray that your flight may, and this is interesting too, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. If he's not concerned with Jewish people or those with Jewish sensitivities, why did he mention the Sabbath?
That's right. Excellent.
Are you with me, saints?
Yes, sir.
Now, we had certain Christians in Judea at that time who were Jews, but still observed the Sabbath edicts. So their scruples wouldn't allow them to travel beyond 1 or 2 English miles. That's as far as you could go on a Sabbath day's journey. So he's saying, if you happen to be caught in these days, being a Jew, you can't go, or being one who observes the Jewish edicts of the law, you won't be able to go beyond an English mile or two. So you'll be caught. Because to flee from this man, you're gonna have to go more than a mile or two. So he's saying, pray that your flight be not in the winter, which is also difficult to travel because of the inclement weather, and because if you have scruples that will forbid you observing Jewish traditions, you can't travel on the Sabbath. That's why that's thrown in there. Please pay attention that this focus here is the Jews and Jerusalem.
Amen.
That's why the Sabbath is there. Now, for then there will be great. Now, you notice back in verse 9, it was affliction, another word for tribulation. When he says great tribulation, that lets you know you're in the last 3.5 years.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's why, also how we know. Such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Clearly, that's the great tribulation and the last 3.5 years.
Amen. Amen.
And listen, this is further proof that it's the last 3.5 years. And unless those days were shortened, it doesn't mean he's going to take a 24-hour day and make it 17-hour day. It means unless the Lord puts some stop on this man and his armies, the devastation, the bloodletting, the sheer atrocities that this man shall wreak on the human race, because he's going to have control essentially of the world. He's saying unless God stopped it, no flesh would be saved. Now, you'd have to be 3 times blind, deaf, and mute not to see that today is getting ready for this man to rule. Don't you see the offers at your own bank?
That's right.
You can get a discount if you use paperless. Just give us your social security number and do everything through the card and do everything on the internet. How do you think they won't be able to buy and sell? You're going to be logged into a system where they could find you like that. And very few who are able to avoid that, it'll be very, very, very few, will be the lucky ones, the blessed ones. But the majority of humanity, you can see how we're all coming to a paperless society. No cash accepted here, so you have the credit card only. I say, huh, I'm from 1950. I like that. And I want some change back when I get. And then, no, sir, the card. I say, oh, well, can't do business here. But you can see it coming. Because once you, and look, there used to be 25 banks, 3. You see everything coming down to that. That's how this man is going to be able to take over everything. You just read in Revelation, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast and da da da. Well, you can see, if you open your eyes, you can see it start beginning now. But Jesus says, don't worry. These are the beginning of sorrows in our time right now.
Yes, sir.
But they will intensify as this time of tribulation draws nigh. But, I mean, you can clearly see it. Then, if anyone says to you, verse 23,
lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not.
Now you see what he's building up to now? Now he just told you about the sign of the end of the times in verse 15, the abomination that causes desolation. Now look at verse 23, where he's leading to. He's leading to now the sign of his coming. He's about to answer that question. He's about to answer question 2 from the disciples. I said he's doing it in reverse order. First, he did the sign of the end of the age. Now he's answering the sign of his coming. He says, then if anyone says to you, behold, or look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it.
Amen.
Carry on.
For there shall arise false Christ.
Again, he's telling you now, this is during that last 3.5 year period of the tribulation. There will arise false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. Now listen to this. If possible, even the elect.
Yes.
Now, meaning their deception will be so powerful that if God allowed it, of course, if God elected you, you cannot be unsaved. But it says if God would restrain a little bit and allow it, he would even fool people who really believe in Jesus.
Mm.
That's how good their signs are going to be, these false prophets that the devil shall be empowering.
Verse 25.
Now, I like this.
Behold, I have told you before.
He's saying, look, pay attention. I told you this before it happened.
Yes, sir.
Now, take that back to verse 4. Take heed that no one deceives you.
Amen.
Again, he's saying, look, I warned you before time. Do not follow anyone that says he's the Christ.
Amen.
I don't care how good his deceptions are.
Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, Go not forth.
Because that was a thing that people believed, that the Christ would appear from some mysterious place out of the desert. Mm. He's addressing that superstition, that he shall come from somewhere out of the desert. Right? He said, don't believe it. So if they say he's in the desert, do not go out. Or if they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Inner rooms means, he's alluding to, if they say he's in some secret building somewhere.
Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east.
He's saying, when you stand, for example, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, you look up, and you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you see, and you saw that same lightning.
Yes.
All you had to do was look up. Nobody had to tell you.
That's right.
He's saying, just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Everybody's going to see it. From Asia to the west coast of California, to Hawaii, well, back around the whole globe, is what his point is, yes?
Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
And by eagles, he means a carrion. The English translation is eagle. He means a carrion bird. When you see buzzards, or what do they call them, vultures, what are they signaling? They're signaling there's something down there to eat. He's also implying judgment here. Mm-hmm. When he uses carcass and the carrion birds that eat dead flesh, he's implying judgment, and he's implying no one has to tell you. Everyone can look up. When you see a vulture circling, you can be driving that way. You say, oh, something died over there. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, see, up until then, the Antichrist was doing all the destruction. Now what he's about to say, God himself starts messing with nature. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days,
shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light.
God does that. Now, some speculate that it could be because of the volcanic activity that will be going on. When the ash goes up, it can make this moon look like it's bloody. It can make the moon look red. It can block in the light of the sun. We don't know. All speculation. But in some way, this is what God's going to be doing now. This is God's wrath now being poured out. And God is now taking over the calamities that are happening on the earth. With the sun, the moon, these things God controls.
Yes.
He says, so the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. That's God.
Amen.
All of this is leading up to Jesus appearing. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man. Jesus is the sign.
Amen.
He said, it won't be, the moon's not my sign. The sun being blocked, that's not my sign. Then the sign, which sign? The me, he's saying. The sign of the Son of Man will appear
in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn,
because they will regret not having believed in him.
Yes.
The Jews that didn't believe in him will regret it. The Gentiles that didn't believe in him will regret it. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. Those who didn't believe.
Amen.
The elect will rejoice. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Amen.
And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. I mean, this means from all parts of the earth. That means north, south, east, and west, when he says the four winds. From one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. Remember we did the fig tree recently? And when Jesus saw the leaves that were on there, which indicated there was fruit, but they found there was no fruit, he cursed it as a symbol of Israel rejecting him, appearing to be so righteous. But your fruit, there was no fruit because you rejected Jesus.
Amen.
So he's using a fig tree here again, saying, in another analogy, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things that he just spoke of, know that it is near, at the door.
Amen.
Verily or assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. What generation? The generation we are in right now. It's not going to pass away until all these things happen. Right? Because some people are going to miss the rapture and last through the tribulation, 7-year period. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now he finally answers the first question. And this is it. But of the day and hour.
Yes.
Remember the first question he asked was, when will these things happen? He says, but of the day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's the answer to when are you coming back. What did Jesus just say? I'm not telling you. Now, we know then, even the Son didn't know. Because Mark 13:32 tells us, no, nor the Son, not even the Son. Why? Because Jesus did not use all of his divine attributes. He was still divine, but he was not omniscient without God giving him whatever he had. He said, I could do nothing without the Father. Amen. Right? But since he came up out of the grave and made that proclamation that all power is given to me in heaven and earth, he now knows when he's coming back. But to answer their question, then he told them the times, as he told them in Acts 1:7, the times is not for you to know. That's in the Father's hands. Amen. So he answered all three questions in reverse order. The sign of the end of the age is when that man sets up the abomination. He's saying, no, then you got 3.5 more years before you see me. Now the day and a specific hour when you see me, I'm not telling you. And then he says, the sign of my coming will be me, myself, in the air when you see me coming with great glory. That was the true prophet. By the way, that's the name of today's title, the message. The true prophet, three questions answered. God bless you all. Peace be unto you. Do your research. Test what we've learned here today. God bless you. Peace be unto you.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.